You're called to live as living witnesses of your grace. We know that faith is your gift to your people and that it's always given in connection with the Word. Use that Word now to increase faith where it's already present and to bring to faith through the Word preached here those not yet reconciled to you. Bless your servant with the ability to understand your Word himself, then also to be able to explain it so clearly that no one who hears can be without excuse. Instead, O Lord, may it be used of you with the blessing of the Holy Spirit so that all these purposes are fulfilled for the glory of your name through all eternity. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. Now we'll turn to the scripture as we find it in Philippians 4. Beginning at the 10th verse of that chapter, Philippians 4, beginning at verse 10. This is the holy, inspired, inerrant, and infallible word of the Lord. Hear it with faith. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I've learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I'm well supplied. Having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. And our text is found in the 13th verse. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Well, girls and boys, I want to begin with a few words to you. Do you ever hear words in the Bible and they don't seem to mean what they're saying? For example, the word world in the Bible is used in 9 different ways. It can mean the whole creation. It can mean all the people living in the world. It can mean all the lost people in this world. Each time there's a different meaning, so you have to see what the subject is, so that will help us to know what it is. One other example of that is that the Pharisees once said about Jesus, the whole world is running after him. Well, it couldn't be the whole world, of course, but that's what they spoke. Now, that same thing is true of other familiar verses, including our text for tonight. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. All things. What are those things? Well, when we see the subject, then we'll see this verse is here in the Bible to encourage every one of us as Christians. That's what it's there for. First of all, Paul establishes the fact that he can do all things. Then he says to what extent he can do it. And then thirdly, how all of us are to express that. Well, you heard that Paul was thanking the members of the Philippian church for the gifts they had sent. He sees that as a way that they showed their love for him, a tangible way in expressing that love. Now he tells them that he has learned to be content in all the circumstances of life, whether he's in need or whether he has plenty, whether he abounds or whether he's in want, whatever it may be. So he's saying, I could have gotten by without your gift if I had to, but it really did warm his heart that they thought enough of him to do such a thing and do that for him. Now, remember, we show by what we do, by what we don't do, by what we think and say, we show where our hearts really are. Let me say that again. By what we do, by what we don't do, by what we think and by what we say, we show where our hearts really are. Remember that verse from the Bible, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Well, we have this in common with those old time Christians way back there in Philippi. We have this in common, that is that we are in Christ. That's one of Paul's favorite expressions throughout all of his epistles, to be in Christ. His meaning is that this is what shows who we are, and all the blessings that we have come because of our special relationship to God through His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, because we have faith in the Savior. So we're in this special relationship. Besides the blessing of God now being our Father, and that's how we're taught to pray. Jesus said, when you pray, say, Our Father. And we should always use that, of course. But he adds that beside having God as our Father, we are now new creatures in Christ. Everything is different. Now, that difference doesn't just bang, happen automatically. That takes time to develop in what we normally call sanctification. And because it's a gradual thing, it's very easy for someone to see one of my weaknesses or yours and say, and he or she is supposed to be a Christian. Of course they can do that, because we are not already sanctified completely. Now, it's true, even when we are weak and do wrong things, we are still saved. We are still Christians because we have faith in our Savior. And it's that new relationship which made for Paul, he says this is true about himself and every other Christian because of that relationship, the relationship through Christ. Now, every one of you here knows whether or not you believe. Most of us have been taught from infancy the truths of the Bible, and we know that we do believe. Of course we do. But in addition, we also all know that we're going to answer to God for what we do with the teachings of the Bible. Let me ask you, what is this teaching here going to do for you, you think? Will it give you confidence? How much confidence? Do you think you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you? Well, look at the extent of this. All right, what does it mean to do all things through Him who strengthens you? Remember, we're speaking to Christians who place their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, all things, does it mean that I could take one little run and jump and land way over there by the back door? Does it mean I could become a world-class runner? Does it mean I could live here forever? Does it mean I could know all there is to know about the future? You think you girls could learn to bake and sew without anybody showing you how? Because you can do all things through Him who strengthens you? Well, we can all use our imaginations, but we realize that all these things I've mentioned are not what this text means. But if that's not what it means, why'd Paul say this? If that's not what it means, well, let me tell you what I think it means. We have just seen the negative, what it doesn't mean, but let's be positive. There are so many things that God calls us to do that we could not do without His help, without His grace, the Holy Spirit. And He promises to give that to all who believe in Him. Here's an example. We are told we have to live for Christ and put everyone and everything behind that in second place to our discipleship. So strong is this that Matthew 10, verse 37, we hear Jesus saying, he who loves father or mother, son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Can we do that? Only with God's help. By ourselves, without his help, the old nature will take over. And we'd rather play than study. We'd rather put all of our duties aside and just have a good time in this life. And we just would want to please ourselves. There's an old Frisian saying that says, "Se ben in de wereld te kost." They're in the world only for the pleasure they can get out of life. Well, God also tells us all of these things. We have to go to church. We have to honor our parents. We have to obey in ways which please him. That all goes against our old nature, every bit of it. And that's why, as Christians, we need help from our Savior. And how do we get that help? It comes from the Holy Spirit, whom he sent to live within us. And here, Paul has in mind all of that gospel obedience and all of that discipleship that we are called upon to do. We can do it through him who strengthens us. Now, there are other things included in that all things too. What could they be? Well, I believe that Paul is also telling us that whatever God calls us to do is our duty, we can do. And whatever he gives us to bear in this life, we can also bear with his help without rebelling. Things that we would never want to have happen to us. Things that we would avoid at all costs. And yet they come, don't they? They come because God knows what's best for us. There are serious illnesses, accidents, death, all kinds of things we'd like to avoid. How does Christ help us to endure these things? By what he teaches us. He teaches us that all things are in our Father's control and that God has only our good in mind. Doesn't always feel so good. But in the end, it's going to be for our good. Nothing that we call bad can happen unless God allows it to happen for that good of ours. You know, when we were babies and were baptized, we couldn't hear what the minister was saying. We couldn't grasp what he was saying to our parents about all of these promises. And yet, that was true. Whether we could hear it or grasp it or not, God promises he will turn aside all evil or turn it to our profit. Now, not one of us knows everything, but God does, of course. He knows everything. And God, who knows and controls everything, promises through the Lord Jesus Christ that he will care for us. Remember the Sermon on the Mount? More than the birds or the flowers, you are of much more value than many sparrows, he says. And one of the most wonderful things I ever came across in the Confession of Faith, the Belgic Confession we call it, Article 26. Listen to this. There is no creature in heaven or on earth who loves us more than the Lord Jesus Christ. Boys and girls, your mom and dad can't love you more than Jesus loves you. He loves you more than anyone in this whole creation. So we can be confident. That's what the theme says, Christian confidence. We can be confident. God will give us what we need to do our duty. God will give us what we need to bear, whatever he sees fit to send upon us in this life as he gets us ready for our home in heaven. It's all in his hand. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to worry. It's in His hand, and it's for our good. Oh, how I wish every boy and girl, every young person, every adult had this kind of confidence. Listen to the Word of God. If we believe it, then we have to express it. Well, if we do believe this, that we can do all things through Him who strengthens us, then it's going to come out, isn't it? It's going to come to expression. The first way is that we ought to say it. Say you're talking with somebody about the news or some disaster has happened. In a very natural way, you can give reason for the hope that's in you when you talk to that person. It'll be easier than you think if you just try to be natural. Don't try to be fancy or act like you're very learned. Just be yourself. I had a seminary professor who said more years ago than I care to remember, be natural about spiritual things and be spiritual about natural things. Just think of that. Be natural about spiritual things and be spiritual about natural things. And of course, we all ought to consider expressing that faith by professing our faith publicly if we haven't done so. Think about that. And while you're thinking about it, let the proof of your confidence be in the way that you try to live. Because our attitude ought to be formed by knowing that God has the whole world in His hand. Just as the song says, so the Bible teaches. Now, here's a wonderful teaching of the Bible besides the ones I've been talking about. The Bible tells us that when God looks down from heaven upon earth, there's one thing that's the very apple of His eye, and that's the bride of Christ, the church. And that means all of us who are believers. That pleases God more than anything else. Nothing is more important to Him than the church. In fact, everything in this world goes the way it does. Wars, terrorism, everything goes the way it does for the eventual good of the church. Now, we can't see that and understand that, but we know it's true because the Bible says so. So as Christians, we never need to be ashamed of it, nor ashamed of showing that we have these confidence because God actually runs that whole world just for the good of His people. And another thing, we ought to be thankful that God has told us what's true while so many people tell us things that aren't true at all. What are the so-called experts? There's a definition of that. It's kind of strange. An expert is a drip under pressure. But anyway, the so-called experts, they tell us all kinds of things. But the Bible says this about such people who aren't Christians. Their foolish hearts are darkened, and their thoughts are all in vain. Should we look to them for wisdom? Should we look to them for solutions when we think we have problems? Of course not. We know that the church is being true to her calling when the Bible is our only standard, when her members believe it, and with God's help, try to live it. Only God can bring this about in our hearts so that we do indeed want to do His will. And when we do believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we will know for sure that whatever He says we'll be able to do with His help, whatever He calls us to take and bear, we can bear because it is Christ who strengthens us. May that confidence be shown in every life here and always with God's help. Amen. Father in heaven, we're so thankful for Your Word and for the fact that by the Holy Spirit You give us the understanding of that Word and that You work that confidence in us. We pray that each one of us may have that we may show it, and that it may be done in order to glorify your name as well. Look upon us now in your mercy, we pray, and hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen. We turn now to number 368.